Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Welcome to the Graymere Worship Service on the Lord's Day. Thank you for joining us. Today is Mother's Day, and we salute all the mothers. We love and appreciate our mothers. Yet today, our purpose is to worship and praise God. John was given a vision of the throne room in Revelation, the fourth chapter, the throne room of God. And there he sees worshipers day and night. They never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And they lay their crowns down before them and they say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." And so we too worship God this morning. Thank you for tuning in. Our Father, be with us as we worship you this morning. May we give you the honor that you deserve. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise God together.
I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, let the God of my salvation be exalted.
There is an endless song echoes in my soul. I hear the music ring, and though the storms may come, I am holding on, and to the rock I cling. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love? How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart want to sing. I will lift my eyes in the darkest night, for I know my Savior lives. And I will walk with you, knowing you'll see me through, and sing the songs you give. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love, Lord. How can I keep from shouting your name? I know I am loved by the King, and it makes my heart. How can I keep from singing your praise? How can I ever say enough? How amazing is your love?
Oh, One of my favorite words in the Bible is a word. It's a bigger word that we normally don't use in our English language and in today's culture. It's the word reconciliation. When I'm teaching our teenagers, I often talk about reconciliation, the idea of being brought back. Reconciliation is the idea that everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to be connected to somebody else. And I love the idea that God has made provision so that we would be brought back to Him, that we would belong to Him. Today, as we're about to take the Lord's Supper, it's the idea of belonging to God, that we have been reconciled and brought back to Him, and that's why we get to partake in the suffering of Jesus. I want to read from Romans 5, and I want this passage to speak about, on its own, the sacrifice of Jesus and our being reconciled to God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. We boast in the hope of the glory of God, and not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. Character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were all still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? And not only this, so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Let's go to God in prayer and thank Him for bringing us back to Him as we partake of the Lord's Supper. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You so much that we have an opportunity to break bread with You this morning. God, we thank you for the unleavened bread that represents the body of Jesus. And that we get to partake in the suffering that Jesus partook in. That we get to be brought back to you and reconciled to you through his blood. We thank you for his sacrifice. And God, may we never take it for granted what Jesus did on the cross for us while we were sinners. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's go to God and thank him for the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we again thank you for this time that we have as a church and as your people to fellowship with you through the breaking of bread and through the fruit of the vine. We thank you for the blood of Jesus that flowed down off the cross. Though it was such a tragic event, we thank you for the event that saves our lives from sin. We thank you for Jesus and his death on the cross. God, we ask that as we take of this fruit of the vine now, that you would help us to be reminded of Jesus' blood and his sacrifice, and that we would never take for granted what it took to buy us back to you. We thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for being part of our worship service. We did announce earlier this week, and hopefully you've received word by now, that on May 31st, we plan to begin resuming a worship together in person. Now, obviously, things can change quickly, and so we want you to continue monitoring announcements as we prepare for that time. But we're looking forward to a time we can be back together. There are a couple of things we need to remember about this going forward. And the first is, for anyone who is in a high-risk category or who is just simply not comfortable with being out right now, we want to encourage you to do what's best for you and for your family. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love always protects, and we want to protect each other. And so if it's best for you to stay at home rather than to be in crowds, please do that and know that we will still have available for you online resources. When we start worshiping together again, we'll still have the live stream available. And we'll have other videos, as we've had in previous weeks, for additional classes and Bible study. We want you to do what's right for you. And we also hope that if there are other needs that you have, you'll let us know. As a church family, we're definitely in this together. For those of you who are planning to join us for those worship services beginning May 31st, we want you to know there will be some changes to the way that we do things. And in the next couple of weeks, we'll be figuring out some of the details, and we'll be letting you know what to expect. But as you know, this is not just going to be a switch we can turn back on and have everything the way that it was. I wish we could do that. I'd like for that to happen. But it's going to be a gradual process. And so we'd appreciate your continued patience. And I can just tell you, in my conversations over these last few weeks, I've received an incredible amount of encouragement from how supportive and understanding everyone has been. Thank you for that. This is not an easy time for anyone doing just about anything. There are a lot of complications, and it really means a lot that as a church family that you're supportive and that you're praying for our elders. Let's continue to pray for them. I appreciate the way they are carefully thinking through every issue and navigating us through this time. And let's also just bear with one another. It'll be a little strange when we are able to see each other in person, but maybe not be as close as we'd like to be. But it'll be good for us to be together. Let's keep checking on each other. Let's keep praying for each other. I've heard some awesome stories of our church members who are doing that. Thank you for that. Let's keep it up. Now, it seems like today there is a day for everything. In fact, if you were to look through the calendar, I would imagine online for just about every day of the year, there'd be a special day, maybe one that you've never even heard of before. I can remember a few years ago when I first saw National Siblings Day. I didn't even know there was a National Siblings Day. And now I felt bad that I'd missed it all these years to celebrate with my sister. I didn't know if she was upset with me for missing National Siblings Day. But I did some research over the last few days. Here are some other days that you may not realize you've missed. January 4th was National Spaghetti Day. It's every year, January 4th, so you can plan for next year. April 16th was National High Five Day, although now it'd be more like a wave, you know, from a distance. July 11th is National 7-Eleven Day, obviously the 7th month, 11th day. I guess you celebrate by going to a 7-Eleven, but it's a National 7-Eleven Day. The point is, we can find days that are set aside to celebrate a lot of things. And there are some people who might even consider Mother's Day to be kind of a quote, Hallmark holiday, one that was just created in order to try to sell flowers or gifts or cards. There are some who would prefer not to preach a sermon about mothers on Mother's Day, and I understand that. But a few years ago, I made the decision that any time our surrounding culture focuses on something that's scriptural, I want to engage with that. I want to affirm that and to look at what Scripture has to say about it. And so we're going to spend some time thinking about mothers. Now, I realize every year this day is a challenge, and maybe this year it's more challenging than most. I know that there are people who are single and would like to be married and have a family, and that hasn't happened yet. I know there are parents who would like to have children, and that hasn't happened yet. And it might be difficult to think about motherhood or parenthood at a time like that. For those who have lost children or those who have lost mothers, a day like this can bring up a lot of different emotions. And so if you fall into that category, if that describes you, let me just say thank you, number one, for watching. And let me encourage you that we're going to be spending time in God's Word. We're going to find things that are applicable to all of us, no matter what our background might be or our experiences may have been. But it's also challenging because we're not together in person. And it's always neat for me on Mother's Day to see when children make the drive. Maybe they come in from out of town to spend Mother's Day with their mom, and maybe you see the flowers that mothers are wearing, and maybe you have a tradition in your family of a big meal together, and those things have changed. And I understand that that's a challenge. It's one of many casualties of the changes we've had to make in these last few weeks. And so even though it's hard, and even though mothers are used to making sacrifices and are used to dealing with changes to plans and that sort of thing, I do want us to take a few minutes to focus on what Scripture has to say. And what I'd like for us to do is to take one image from an Old Testament prophet and one example of a mother in the Old Testament, and then find out what those two things tell us about the God that we serve. And we're going to see how these principles show up in New Testament passages as well. But we're going to begin with this imagery that Isaiah gives us in Isaiah 49. And before I read the passage, I want to just give us a little bit of context. There are several servant songs later in the book of Isaiah. We're probably more familiar with Isaiah 53, that servant song that specifically seems to be describing Jesus. It makes it pretty clear when he describes Jesus being led as a lamb before its shearers is silent and all of those kinds of things. But as we look at earlier servant songs, we see ways in which the servant is described as Israel, as God's people. And in those descriptions, both the ones that describe a singular individual servant that we see referring to and pointing to Jesus, or in those that describe God's people, Israel, we see some insights into God's nature himself. And I want to begin with just a word picture that's used here in Isaiah 49, beginning in verse 14. But Zion said, "The Lord has forsaken me, and the Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me." I think it's interesting that when Jesus, or rather when God wants to describe the relationship he has with his people, he says, "I love you the way that a mother loves her children, but even more." It's hard to find a more powerful example of love than that one. And I'd like for us just to think through these specific passages here and see what they teach us about motherhood. The first quality of motherhood that jumps out to me as I read this is the idea of selflessness. That the nature of motherhood itself requires mothers to think more about their children than they do about their own needs. It's hard to think of a more powerful picture than mother's love, and it's similar to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 11 when he's describing the way a father knows how to give gifts to his children. And he says, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" It's that same kind of approach. He's saying, okay, think about the way a mother loves her child. Even if a mother forgets her child, I won't forget you. Jesus is saying the same thing. Okay, you know how to give good gifts, fathers and children. Well, your Father knows how to do even better. He can do even more than that. And it's incredible to think about this constant thought and constant attention that mothers display for children. You know, if you've spent any time around a baby, especially a newborn baby, the complete reliance on parents, on grown-ups in the world. And so mothers are constantly focused on their child. I can remember not too long after Luke was born, I think he was about 6 or 7 weeks old, we all attended Catherine's graduation. She was graduating with her master's, and so here we have Luke as a little baby, and we were sitting kind of in the back, and Catherine was up front sitting with her class, and you know, graduation ceremonies can be long, and there were a lot of graduates here, and so we were sitting back there, and I mean, we had Luke covered. I was there, Catherine's parents were there, my parents were there. I mean, we were ready. We were 5-on-1. We had him covered, making sure that every need was taken care of. And so I can remember that, trying to figure out, okay, is he doing okay? Or, you know, do we need to walk around a little bit? And maybe he falls asleep for a little while, and that's good, and all of those normal parenting things. But as the ceremony continued and continued, I got a text from Catherine, who was sitting up towards the front, still anticipating her time to get on stage. And she texted me to ask how he was doing. I said, "Well, he's doing fine." And she told me afterwards, she said, "You know, it didn't dawn on me till I sat there. That was probably the longest I'd been away from him. Not in the same place, maybe not the same room, but just a few steps away from one room to another." And I think mothers can relate to that. And even as children get older, it still doesn't change. Even if you're used to not being in the same room with them all the time, you're still thinking about them constantly. So it's an incredible statement for God to say, even if a mother forgets, I won't forget you. It's possible for parents to forsake children. In fact, Psalm 27 and verse 10, the psalmist says, my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. And so you may be thinking about this morning and you're saying, well, you just don't know what my relationship with my mother was like. You know, if you knew what my mother had done to us, you wouldn't be so excited about this biblical example of motherhood. And I understand that. But the good news of this image is that God is saying, even if that happens, I will not forget you. And if we're thinking of an example of this in the Old Testament, one that stands out to mind is to me is a mother in Exodus chapter 2. Amram and Jochebed have a baby, and yet they're forced to take different actions than they had with previous children. Because they are Israelites who have a child during a time in which the Pharaoh over Egypt is having every boy that is born put to death. Now, can you imagine being Jochebed and looking into the eyes of your child and realizing all the things that are going to have to happen, the changes that are going to have to take place in order for you to help that child survive? Can you imagine what it was like to try to keep the child quiet, keep that baby quiet, to keep others from spreading the word about it or gossiping about it, to keep anyone from finding out? That would have taken a great deal of work. It would have been incredibly challenging. Picture what it's like trying to hide a child in that environment. Now, God's guiding the whole process, but every step of the way, they would have had to have been thinking about that child, about Moses, rather than themselves. You know, parenting does involve sacrifice. And I'm always reminded of a movie that shows up every year, Christmas time. You can find it on TV multiple times throughout the year, and that is A Christmas Story. Now, if you've never seen A Christmas Story, the main character is narrating his life from the viewpoint of him as a child. And so he's telling the story. You see the child, but you're hearing the narrator's words. And there's one scene where the mother has made dinner and she's given everybody the dinner and they start eating and she's finishing up and she gets her plate and she sits down. And as soon as she sits down, her husband asks her for something. And she gets up again and she goes and gets something else. As soon as she sits down, her son asks her for something. She gets up again and goes and gets something else. And the narrator makes this statement, my mother had not had a hot meal to herself in 15 years. And I think mothers can relate to that. Because they're used to thinking about others in charge instead of themselves, to put others before themselves. And that's been especially true these last couple of months. I thought it might be interesting for us just to look at some of the comments that have been made on social media from parents, specifically mothers, as they've been dealing with the challenge of the quarantine and online schooling and whatever else. So just listen to some of these. You may have seen some of these surface online, or maybe they've been passed around. Here are some quotes from quarantine parenting. Here's one. If you'd asked me what the hardest part of battling a global pandemic would be, I would have never thought it would be fourth grade math. Or maybe I like this post that a parent put up. Hello, today's date is March 87th. March kind of felt that way. I don't know if you agree. It did feel that way. Or this one. My kid just asked me if it's today or tomorrow. And honestly, I don't know the answer. What about this? Does it feel like I've cooked 498 meals this week? Yes, exactly that. There's a lot of cooking taking place. Or this person, not all who wander are lost. Some are moms, in their closets, hiding from their quarantine toddlers. Hashtag send help. Or this one is probably my favorite. I moved a table into the living room, so now the kids have a great workspace to sit and throw fruit snacks at each other. Now, all of these kinds of sacrifices are really part of the job description of parents, and moms are used to that. But it's important for us to affirm the fact that that kind of sacrifice and selflessness is part of the qualities of a mother God is saying he displays. In fact, I think it's important to realize these sacrifices are acts of ministry. For example, when Paul lists the qualities of the widows who should be supported in 1 Timothy 5, he lists four features of what they should look for ministries. First on the list is bringing up children, followed by showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, and assisting those in distress. Now, I think that's significant. Those latter three we would think of naturally as ministry. But the first, bringing up children, we might not think of as ministry, but Paul is saying this is service. Ministry simply means service. So for those mothers out there who are serving, know that what you are doing is ministry. You're ministering to your children. Some acts of sacrifice that you make without even thinking about it are acts of ministry. Every time you pray with a child, or you talk with that child about God, or you read scripture together, you're doing ministry. When you give up being able to focus as much as you'd like to in worship because you're helping to train a child to learn how to sit and to focus in worship, that's ministry. When you have to miss things, sometimes even church events, to take care of a sick child, that is ministry. When you aren't able to go on a mission trip, but you do have the opportunity to spend time with your children talking to them about Scripture, that's ministry on your mission field. When you bring your children to worship and allow the rest of us to see them and to be encouraged by them and to be encouraged by the fact that you're teaching them that worship is important, that's ministry. All of these actions are ministry. I think that's important because there are times that mothers may feel like because they're not participating to the extent they want to, or maybe the way that they were able to before they had children, that they're not able to do the same thing, that maybe somehow they're not really involved in ministry. But you are. This is ministry. And so we see that incredible quality of selflessness. But then secondly, we also see compassion. I mean, motherhood requires compassion, especially in the imagery that is used here in Isaiah 49, of a woman forgetting her nursing child, this child that is completely helpless at this point, relying on someone else for everything. Think about the fact that a child is completely reliant. How much can a child provide for a parent? What can a child do for a parent? Well, not really much. All the little children can think about is how the world affects them. They don't realize there's an entire adult world going on. There are things they don't know about. And I think it's significant that there are some parallels here. That when God calls us His children, it's a reminder that there's a world of things we don't understand that God understands. When God pictures us here as children, it's a reminder that my feeble efforts aren't giving God anything He doesn't already have, any more than a baby can provide something a parent doesn't already have. And so I'm reliant, completely reliant on God. Biblical motherhood requires this serious kind of compassion. And there are a lot of different preacher stories that get tossed around about motherhood and things, and some of them are not as good as others. But here's one that I've always thought really resonated with me. There was a time when an elderly widow had a tragic fire in her home. And her house burned completely to the ground. There was nothing left. It was the middle of the night, and all that was around her were ashes. She'd lost her furniture, her clothes, everything. And so she called her son, who lived in another state, to tell him about it. And he immediately began packing a bag, but he lived so far away, he knew he wouldn't be able to get there for another few hours. And he wanted to make sure she had a place to stay. She said she'd lost everything, and he said, "Well, Mom, do you have any money?" And she responded, "Well, yes, son. How much do you need?" That reveals a lot about a mother's heart, doesn't it? And so it's significant that this metaphor of deep compassion is depicted as a mother. Think back to Jochebed again, the mother of Moses, who takes him and puts him in that wicker basket and places him. And the text says in Exodus, it gives us the sense that she's placing him among the reeds, not just sort of tossing it in the water. She had a plan. But can you imagine what was going through her mind? The kind of compassion she would have to be willing to sacrifice what she would rather do, to be with her child, to make sure that her child could have a life. Again, God's at work in all of this, but He's at work in the compassion of a mother. And so as he's at work with the situation, ultimately Pharaoh's daughter picks up Moses. She allows Moses' mother to be his nurse. And so there's connection there. It's powerful to see the way God's at work. But I think it's interesting the way Hebrews 11 describes Moses as an adult. In Hebrews 11, verse 24, we read, "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." Now, it's a reminder that Moses is deciding he's not going to be identified with the Egyptians anymore. He's going to embrace his people, Israel. But it's also a reminder to me that, you know, when I grow up, I have the choice to decide how I want to be identified. And so maybe if you're looking back at your upbringing and you're saying, you know, I didn't have the greatest relationship with my mom. Or maybe my relationship with mom was okay, but I didn't have the greatest relationship with my dad. This passage reminds us that when I grow up, I can choose what I want to be. I can choose who I want to identify with. I can choose the kind of life that I want to live. Moses was able to choose. And I wonder how much influence Jochebed was able to have on him and on that relationship. It's one of those areas I wish we knew more about. But I would have to think there was some significance there. She gives us insight into a mother who's willing to be selfless, to think more about a child than herself, taking care of the child, preserving that child, and then has enough compassion to make the sacrifice necessary for that child to continue to live. Selflessness, compassion, it's important for those elements to be understood, not just as necessary for the job description of a motherhood, but for us to celebrate them as we see them in the lives of the mothers that we know, the mothers in our family, our own mothers, mothers that we're friends with, as we see display in their own family, in a time in which it's not very easy to find examples in our culture that affirm biblical values. It's good for us to support those who are seeking to be mothers the way God has designed it. Now, we've been trying to do some family challenges. And so your family challenge for this week will be to think about some of the qualities that you've seen already in the text, qualities of mothers, or maybe some that we haven't talked about that you've thought of. And after we're done with the worship here, take just a few minutes as a family to discuss those qualities. What do they mean? How do you see them? How do you see them in your family? And just here's a good opportunity, kids, here's a hint. This is a good time for you to brag on your mothers and to thank them for what they're doing. But also think about how we can show those qualities, because they're important for every Christian to have as we care about others. Now, we read verse 16. "Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands." This seems to refer to a name being branded or placed on someone's hand. And it seems here that Isaiah in this prophecy is playing with expectations. It was normal for a servant to have the brand marks of the owner. It would not be normal for the one who is in charge to have the name of a servant on his hand. But when God describes to us how much he cares about us, he says, "I have your name engraved on the palms of my hands." Now, I know this passage doesn't specifically refer to this, but I can't help thinking of what takes place in John chapter 20, when Jesus appears to the apostles, and Thomas, who hadn't been there to see him the first time, is there. And what does Jesus say? He says, "Look at my hands. Look at the evidence of the crucifixion. You want an example of selflessness, of compassion? There it is." Jesus says, "If you want to know if it's really me, look at my hands. Look at the scars and know that I am the one who sacrificed for you." I think if we were to ask that same question today, how we can know that God loves us, maybe that answer would be helpful. Look at his hands. Look at the fact that the Son of God was selfless enough and had enough compassion for those of us, all of us who were sinners, that he died for us. That means if I want to become a child of God, I'll put Christ on in baptism, and because of his sacrifice, I can know that I have the right relationship with the Father. It may be that there are some needs that you have in your life that you'd like for people to pray about, to pray with you. It may be that you want to become a child of God. Even though we're not in the same room together, this invitation is from God, and it's always open. And I'd like to encourage you, if there's anything in your life you want to discuss or a spiritual need that you have, that you contact one of our elders. You know, usually when we worship, we have a place where you can go and sit down with a couple of our elders and pray, and that opportunity is not just limited to when we're together. So please give them a call. Let them know what they can do to help. We also hope that you'll take the time to let us know if you've been a part of this worship service. There's an online check-in button on our website. It's really easy just to go to the website and click online check-in. That just gives us a good idea of who's out there, that we're part of this together, and that we're serving God together. Selflessness and compassion. Let's all practice those this week.
We're now at the time in our worship where we are going to take a moment to give back to God out of the things that He has given us. We are a blessed people. We are blessed by God, and we want to give a portion of what He has done to bless us. You may be able to give online if that is your choice. Go to graymere.com and you will see the icon at the bottom right corner of that page and be able to give online. Or if you are mailing in your checks, we want to remind you of that option as well. And as the Lord's church, our prayer is that of the monies that we receive, that we are going to use these to the best of our ability to spread God's word and to make His glory known to our land and to this world. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for all the ways that You've blessed us. We thank You for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. We thank You for hope and peace and comfort, for grace and mercy and love, for the power that we have and that You have given us through Your Holy Spirit that lives in us. And God, while these are the most important blessings, we also thank You for the physical blessings that sustain us in this life. We thank You for the food that we are able to eat of on a daily basis. We thank You for the clothes that keep us warm and protect us. And we thank You for our homes. We thank You for all the extra things that we have that make this life easier to us. And we know that all of these have come from You. And we thank You for those blessings. But God, we also have an opportunity to give back at this moment. And I pray that You would help us to be reminded of Your great blessings in our life and the fact that You have given these things to us so freely. Help us to freely give. Help us to give in joy, and help us to give in a desire that your name and Your love would be spread throughout this land. God, as always, we ask for the wisdom of our elders and the deacons who oversee these monies that are given, that they will be used in the best way for Your name to be known. God, again, we thank You for Jesus and for His greatest gift, and it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Save life to be holy, see you up with my Lord, abide in Him always,
Worshiping God is important. Thank you for worshiping with us today. And thank you, Andrew, for another good lesson and for the announcement of our planned action to return. After many prayers and deliberation among the shepherds with the ministers, we give this statement, which by faith we believe is the best approach going forward. One of the blessings of being a Christian is our fellowship, being together. And we've truly missed that. Though modified, we certainly look forward to fellowship in person with the Graymere family starting May the 31st. We know and understand many of you will not be able to attend soon. We understand that and encourage you to do what's best for you. We will have online worship continuing, and we encourage you to worship online. As shepherds, we love you. We love each member of this church, and our decisions are made with the spiritual welfare of all members in mind. This includes physical health. We ask for your continued prayers for wisdom as we plan the modified move in returning for assembly. As we close in prayer, let us remember those of special needs today, the sick, those undergoing surgeries and tests, or those recovering from surgeries, and especially in these unusual times, people who have lost loved ones or families who have new additions, people who are financially burdened, or maybe even just the stress because of these times. Also, those people who are caring for us, medical help, doctors, nurses, or even people who are risking their health taking care of us, they're on the front lines, and the government officials dealing with these conditions. And lastly, those who are working to develop vaccines for COVID-19. May we give God the glory in all that we do. May God bless this church. Join me as we close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of worshiping you today, and we trust that our worship service has been pleasing to you. As we have enumerated, Father, bless those who have special needs. Bless those who are caring for us, and bless those who are working on vaccines for us. Be with us as we go through this week. May we be a shining light for you as we go about and do your will. Forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.